Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Well, I have been trying to share with you for the last several weeks a series of messages that is called Secrets to a Happy Life. And as I've said every Sunday, it is really not a secret because it's in God's Word. It's there for us, and God wants us to know it and to share it. And so, even though I'm calling it the Secrets of a Happy Life, what I'm really meaning is that if you would follow these directions from God's Word, we would find the true fulfillment in life that God wants us to have. And really, these messages are based upon the Beatitudes, where Jesus came and one of his famous sermons, the most famous probably, the most looked at as Jesus' sermons, was when he said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." That was our first Sunday's message, poor in spirit, meaning those who trust God, those who know that they can't find God and give themselves life, but it is God who does that. So they're poor in that spirit. But happy are those who come to discover that. And then we looked last week at one of the Beatitudes where Jesus said that blessed are those who mourn. What does that mean? Why does God want us to be sad? Well, we looked at that to say that God said you will be happy if you understand how God heals broken heart. In other words, if you don't depend upon yourself for your happiness, but to depend upon God, that even in what seems like sadness, it is there that God will give you happiness. So this morning, one of the Beatitudes, one of the secrets of being happy in life is why you need to stay hungry. Taken from the sixth verse of the fifth chapter of Matthew. Even though I haven't had a scripture portion to read, you will find in the bulletin there's an insert that I use kind of to give you a guide of where I'm planning on going through this message. And it has a list of scriptures there. And we'll be going over those scriptures as I go through the message. You know, a pastor often receives letters and notes and emails from parishioners and people who are sometimes wanting questions answered about the Bible and questions about faith and questions that seem to have them stumped. Well, I was reading recently about a pastor who got a letter from a man who, if you know any of the old classic rock music, there's a group called U2, and U2 had written a song that said, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Any of you familiar with that song? Yeah, I see a few heads nodding. Well, this man who wrote this letter to his pastor said, "That song could be the theme of my life. I haven't found what I'm looking for." And the man said, "It's a strange feeling since he has, by all standards, achieved everything that most people work their entire life for." In other words, he had become a successful investment broker, and with that career, he had accumulated a lot of money and a lot of things. He had multiple homes. He had nice cars. He had all the kind of perks and luxuries you would want. The man explained that "I'm married to a great woman. I have two young kids that I adore, and I enjoy good health. Yet, I'm just not as happy as I think I should be. I'm very unsatisfied with my life. I feel empty. And I keep thinking, there's got to be more to life than this." And then he closed his letter to the pastor saying, "What should I do?" Well, there's an entire book in the Bible about that dilemma. It's called the Book of Ecclesiastes. It's written by Solomon, who writes this book, the Book of Ecclesiastes, as kind of a midlife crisis that Solomon is having. Solomon says, I decided my life was empty. My life didn't have a lot of meaning, and I didn't feel very fulfilled by it. And so Solomon starts off in the book in this search, and he tries these different things to find satisfaction in life. And every one of them were dead ends. He says, I tried education. I thought if I just get smart enough, then life will be meaningful and satisfying and fulfilling. So he said, I learned everything you could learn. But when I got all the education, I realized I'm still empty. And so then he said, I decided I'm going to go after a great career. And I actually became the king of my nation. And I had authority and I had a career like no other. I started all kinds of public work projects and doing all of these good things for people. And I still, it left me empty. And then I thought maybe money is the answer. And he said, I went out and I amassed an enormous fortune. I was the richest man in the land. I had more wealth than other nations and kings. I bought myself all kinds of nice things. And it left me empty. And then he said, maybe life's just about having fun. Maybe it's just about partying and having a good time. And he said, I partied to my heart's content. But then he said, it still left me empty. And then Solomon concludes the book of Ecclesiastes. And he says that what everybody says is going to give you satisfaction is a lie. Solomon said that there was this hunger inside of me that was just not being satisfied. Have you ever been hungry? And you go to the refrigerator, you open the door, and then you just stand there and you look at all the things in the fridge. Because you know that you're hungry, but you don't know what you're hungry for. You ever done that? Some of you are saying yes, the others, you won't admit it, but I expect you're just too embarrassed to tell me the truth. Now, Jesus says that having a spiritual hunger is a good thing. You know, it's like standing there in front of the fridge and knowing that you're hungry, but not what? Jesus said, it's good to have that kind of spiritual hunger, that you're standing in front of the world and you know you have this spiritual hunger, but you're not sure what it is. In fact, he says it's one of the secrets of being happy with your life is to stay spiritually hungry. In Matthew 5:6, Jesus says this, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, if you're going to follow the outline there, I would want you to circle righteousness in that verse and circle filled. Because see, you've got to hunger and thirst for the right thing in order to live a happy and fulfilled life. Jesus says, you've got to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what in the world is righteousness? If God says it's one of the secrets of being happy, how do I hunger and thirst for righteousness if I don't even know what righteousness is? Righteousness, that's a big word in the Bible. It's used literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. The Bible tells us that God founded the universe and His kingdom on righteousness. The Bible says that one day God is going to judge the world in righteousness. So, what in the world does this word righteousness mean? Now, the theological dictionary has 27 pages to explain the definition of righteousness. But I'm not going to give all of that to you here this morning. Let me just boil it down into two sentences. It's about a relationship and it's about a lifestyle. For first, righteousness is a relationship, which simply means this: being right with God. And the Bible tells us in Romans 1:17 that the good news shows how God makes people right with Himself. It's a relationship. God does it. The second thing that righteousness is, it's a lifestyle, which means this: living right as God intends. So, righteousness means being right with God, and it means living right in faith, or as God intends. So it's a position and it's a practice. 1 John 2:29 says, all who practice righteousness are God's true children. So, how does God make us right with Him? Well, the good news in the Bible is about getting to know God. That's how you get right with God. Getting to know God. You're not really living until you're right with God and you are connected to God. So, if righteousness is the only way that God says that we're to live, if righteousness is the way to heaven, how does God make you righteous? It's called the gospel, and there are three facts. And I don't need to go over that because I think most of the people here in this sanctuary has heard the gospel probably all of your life, or at least all of your life while you've been in the church. But I'm just going to mention the three points that the Bible makes about what the good news is. What the good news is in its plan to make you right with God. First, the gospel is this: I can't make myself righteous. We've all blown it. We've all sinned. We all make mistakes. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a righteous person on earth who always does what is right and never sins. That's you. That's me. That's everybody in the world. There's nobody who always does the right thing and never sins. We lose by trusting in our own goodness. We lose because of the lack of goodness. We can't fix ourselves. Here's the second thing. God sent Jesus to pay for that sin that we have, because when He declared it, He made me right through Jesus Christ. I couldn't fix it, but Jesus could. God sent Jesus to pay for my sin so that I could be called righteous. It's not what I do for myself. It's what Jesus pays for my sin. Romans 3 says it this way: for all have sinned, yet God in His gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done through Christ Jesus. He has freed us by taking away our sins. Now, it means everything that you've ever done wrong in your life or that you will ever do in your life, Jesus has already paid that price. He did that for what He did on the cross. It's been done. It's a done deal. We can't fix it, but Jesus can, and he has. And here's the third thing. I accept by faith what God did for me. Again, in Romans 3, we are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sin. In other words, Christ has paid the price, but you don't receive it until you're willing to say, okay, God, I can't do it myself, but you have sent Jesus to do it, so the only thing I can do now is to bow my life before you and to graciously and humbly receive what you have given me in Jesus Christ. It's not what we do, it's what Jesus has done. It's our relationship when we receive Jesus as our Savior. Here's what the Bible says you need to do in Romans 10. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For you believe with your heart, resulting in righteousness, and you confess with your mouth, resulting in salvation. That's the good news in Jesus Christ. That's what we all need to do. Not only sometime in our life, but every day of our life. Confessing that Jesus is Lord. And believing in our heart that God has sent Jesus for our brokenness. And taking that righteousness as our salvation to live each day that we live. Now, that's the good news. Have you heard the good news? I don't mean heard about the good news. Do you know what God needs you to do about that? Have you heard the good news and acted on that and let Jesus become your Savior? That's what we need to do. Once you are right with God, it's important then, once you've made that decision, once you are a child of God, once you are following Jesus Christ, once you are now have Him as your Lord and Savior, how do you keep a spiritual hunger in your life? As the scripture that we're talking about today tells us. How do we do that? Doctors say that if you have a loss of appetite, it's a symptom that you're sick. You probably know that. So, when you're ill and you don't feel good, the last thing you think about is eating. And a doctor knows when you've lost your appetite, it indicates something is not right in your life. Something is out of sync. Something is not good. And a pastor knows the same is true spiritually. If you don't have a hunger to know God, then you're sick spiritually. You're not healthy spiritually. Something's wrong in your life. So the important question that we need to answer today is, how do I stay spiritually hungry? Now, how do I maintain that kind of spiritual hunger for God after I've become a Christian, after I've become a follower of Christ? How do I do that the rest of my life? So that tomorrow, I want to know God better than today. That I have a desire and a hunger to do that. And next week, I want to be closer to God than I am now. How do I have that desire? And next year, I want to be wiser and closer to God than I am today. How do I maintain that spiritual appetite to want to do that? Well, in a few minutes we have, here are five keys that I want to share with you about how to do that. Number one, I need to remind myself how much God loves me. You need to do that every day. You need to get up in the morning and say, Lord, help me to remember how much you love me. Because the more you understand how much God loves you, then the more you're going to love him. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, pray that you have the power to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep God really loves you. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great that you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. You'll be filled. So first you've got to experience how God, how much He loves you. And remind yourself of that. That God, help me to feel and to know how much you love me. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. The second key to having a spiritual appetite is to stop filling up on spiritual junk food. Now, what do I mean by that? You are a spiritual being. And that means you were created in God's image. There is a shape of space inside of you that only God can feel. A space in your heart and life that only God can feel. And when you try to fill that space with anything else, with success or sex or passion or money or possessions or power or any other thing, when you try to fill that void with anything other than God, it won't be fulfilling. Just as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. In Isaiah 55 it says, the Lord says, all you who are thirsty, come to me. Now, he doesn't say come to things. He says come to me. And he says drink. God says, and to those of you who don't have money to buy these things, to buy food, come and eat for free. Why do you spend your money on something that isn't real food, the scripture says, and doesn't really satisfy you? Why are you wasting all of your life on those things? Come to me and you'll eat what is good. And your soul will enjoy the stuff that really satisfies. Did you know that there are people starving to death eating worthless food? In some parts of the world, people are making bread out of common plants and roots in their countries. They grind it up and they bake it and they eat it and it fills them up and makes them feel full. Only it has no nutritional value to it. No vitamins, no minerals, no carbohydrates, no proteins, no fats. So it has no health value. It fills them up, but people are dying of starvation with full stomachs. Here in America today, we are a nation of full stomachs, and yet people are spiritually starving to death because they're eating junk food spiritually. It has no godly value. I want to ask you an important question for yourself this morning. What is it in your life that you're hungry for? Because whatever you're hungry for is determining the destination of your life. If you're hungry for pleasure or work or getting things, it's not going to be enough to satisfy you. Because you need a hunger and thirst after God. Here's a third helpful tip. Make knowing God your number one goal. This is how you maintain a spiritual hunger. You make knowing God the thing that you most want in life. Not success, not desiring things. You seek God and not those things. Those are byproducts. Happiness is a byproduct of knowing God. David said in Psalm, God, I really want to know you. He says, I long for you, God. I thirst for you, God. I hunger for you, God. Some of you are hungry right now for God. And you may be confused because you don't know what it is you want or how to get there. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said this, the things you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. And then Jesus says this, if you seek God's kingdom and seek what God wants you to do, then all of these other things you need will be given to you. You see, making God, knowing God, the number one goal, that's what you need to have a hunger for. Here's the fourth thing. You need to get into God's Word every day. This book, the Bible, is soul food. The Bible itself calls itself bread. The Word of God is heavenly bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You must also, in we find in 1 Peter, Jesus is saying, or Paul is saying, you must crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for the nourishment like a baby cries for milk. I know this is from being a grandfather here just recently with a new grandchild. When that baby gets hungry, he cries. And you can hear him even if you're outside. And the scripture is saying that's what we need to do about God, about His Word. When we're hungry for what we need to fulfill us, we need to cry out like a baby cries out for milk. Eating a meal once a week won't keep you healthy. You can't just pick up your Bible on Sunday morning and have a few verses read and somehow that's going to fill you for the rest of the week. You need to feed on the truth of God every day. Now here's the last thing that I want to say about spiritual hunger and we'll close with this. Appetite is influenced by association. Take for instance, you get a bunch of kids together, and one kid says, I'm hungry. What do you think the other kids say? Well, all of a sudden, they realize, I'm hungry too. Now, if I would say here, it's getting close to lunchtime, and if I'd say to you, you know, I'm really hungry for a piece of pumpkin pie. Some of you might think, yeah, that'd be nice. I'm hungry for a piece of pumpkin pie too. Appetite is influenced by association. So if you want to keep a spiritual appetite for God for the rest of your life, here's something that you need to do. You need to be part of a church. In a very serious way. Because whoever you're hanging around with It's what you're going to be hungry for. And if you're around people who are hungry for God, you too will begin to have a hunger for God. Proverbs 2:20 says, join the company of good men and women who will keep you on the path of righteousness. So if you hang out with people who all they care about is sports, that's what you're going to care about. If you hang out with people that all they care about is making money, that's what you're going to care about. But if you hang out with people who are hungry to know God, that's what you're going to care about too. You need to be a part of a church family in a serious way. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I know I'm imperfect. And I know that the people here are imperfect too. And we can never be perfect. We can't be righteous on our own. But God, we come here this morning knowing to thank you for loving us and knowing that you have a plan and purpose for our lives, that you want us to know you in a personal way. Oh God, today I humbly ask that you make our life right with you. We ask that you make it right because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Not on the basis of what we have done, or not on the basis of what we haven't done, but on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross to forgive our sins. Oh God, we come here this morning to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And help us now to always have a spiritual hunger. Oh God, we want to learn how much you love us. And we want to stop filling our souls with junk food, things that can't satisfy. But we want to make knowing you our number one goal. And we want to get into your word every day. And we want to be a part of this church family, not just on Sunday morning, but in every way possible. Oh God, we want to surrender to you. We want to make you the Lord of our life. So Jesus, right now, we come, we surrender, and we want you to be our Lord, our God, and our all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.